The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Tune in to KBN every day at 2 o'clock. Kyle, Brust, and Nortman. 94.5 ESPN is WKTI and WKTI HD.
A locally owned Good Karma brand station.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is the extent of my money. I have a credit card.
Yep.
And I have one of those cards where you can get money out of the ATMs. Okay. That's it. I don't know how anything else works.
Card. It's a debit card.
Well, I'll tell you. A nice greeting card can really lift a person's spirits.
Yeah.
Ooh. Well, check.
Yeah, she puts $10 in every card for my birthday. That's why I save them.
Now, it's not a debit card because can't you, like, use it at the grocery store and stuff like that?
Yeah, the debit card is the
still a debit card.
Yeah. Debit card has...
No, I don't. I've never used it as that. No, I've never used it. The only thing I use that card for is to go to the ATM and carry cash.
There's a check in all these? Why don't you cash them?
I don't know. It's $10.
But you got a whole pile here. Look at it. 1987?
Oh, so what?
Are you aware?
What do you use a debit card for? So you can go, just let me ask you this.
Yep.
You can go and use that like a credit card at the store?
Absolutely. Yeah. And
well,
it just takes.
What the hell do you need a credit card for?
Oh, this is tantamount to a slap in the face.
Oh, get out of here.
Jerry, a gift not enjoyed is like a flower that doesn't blossom.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Lattis.
There are things I want to dive into the show today. Packers, Niners, clearly a big game. Niners are pretty beat up. Quarterbacks beat up. I want to talk about last night's snow globe game that happened in Cleveland with the Steelers and the Cleveland Browns. But Chewy, we have to start with a follow-up of a big story we discussed a week ago.
I was just reading it. Crazy.
And that is the Green Lake man who faked his own death. If you happen to miss this story, there is a man who faked his own death earlier this year in Wisconsin. He tipped over his kayak. They found his phone in Green Lake. I'm assuming he was presumed dead at some point. And... through an investigation, some irregularities came up. Then they found out his passport had been used at the Canadian border. And they believed that the man was then somewhere in Eastern Europe. Well, he has now been in contact with the authorities, Chu, and he detailed and explained to the authorities in Green Lake County about how he faked his own death. So apparently they have made contact with this gentleman. They played a video from this gentleman yesterday during a press conference that they held about how he tried to fake his own death. And
is this guy just want his 15 minutes of fame? Did he contact the sheriff's department?
Apparently they somehow got a hold of him. Because I'm assuming if you fake your own death, Chew, you don't want to be found, and you don't want to be contacted by the sheriff's county, by the sheriffs in the county in which you tried to fake your own.
I don't know if the details are in there, but it seems like he just like recorded a video and said, like, gives the date, the time, and everything, and says, I'm fine. Like, I'm safe.
Yeah, so they played that video at the news conference. I don't know if he was asked to make that video and be a part of the news conference. The sheriff's department are saying that, when they first contacted him, they were asking him questions that only he would know the answer to verify that it was indeed this guy. So he explained, Chewy, how he faked his own death. And I feel like you're probably taking a victory lap with this morning.
Joshy hinted at that. I didn't have enough time to read it, but fill me in.
So we'll start here. He explained to law enforcement he stashed an e-bike near the boat launch on Big Green Lake. He paddled the kayak out to the lake using a child-size inflatable boat with it as well. So he overturned the kayak, dumped his phone in the lake. From there, he took the child-size inflatable boat back to shore took the e-bike, rode to Madison through the night, and then boarded a bus, went to Detroit. But he also did his research, Chew, because you, as we talked about this last week, pointed out a fact that none of us had known, but you knew. Do you remember what that fact was about Green Lake?
Oh, it's the deepest lake, I believe, in the state.
According to Sheriff Padole, this gentleman said he did his research and chose Big Green Lake because it is the deepest inland lake in Wisconsin.
Chewy was right. Holy Chewy was right.
It's like you knew exactly what this guy was doing. It's almost as if we read the story and you were like, oh, yeah, here's how this is why this guy chose this place to fake his own death.
Yes, because he knew it'd be more difficult for them to find something in that lake, probably. And I wonder, would his phone ping if it was, say, I mean, it's got to be. Does it say how deep it is?
I did not say in the article how deep it is. The deepest
part of Okachi, where we have a house, is, I believe, 90 feet.
Okay.
So it's got to be fairly deep. I just wonder if his phone would ping. Probably not.
I'm guessing not. I'm guessing they were just able to...
It's 236 feet at its deepest point.
Wow. Oof.
And he even details that, like, he brought a different boat.
Yeah.
That he brought
a child-sized boat.
Yeah, yep. Flipped the kayak, and then, like, proceeded to that e-bike. So
he's essentially admitting that he committed a crime.
Correct.
If he kept his mouth shut, it'd be hard to prove that he was trying to fake his own death. He could just say, I don't know, swimming, and, you know, I forgot about the boat, and I dropped my phone in when I was screwing around. This guy seems to be playing games.
Well, so apparently the guy has said he has felt badly about the number of law hours or hours of law enforcement the community put in searching for him, saying he got himself into the situation, has to try to get out. Apparently there were some personal matters going on, and this is what he felt was the right thing to do. There was talk about a life insurance plan that he took out. Wasn't for him, but it's for his family, as he was trying to make things better in his mind, and this was the only way that it was going to be. Obviously, it didn't work out the way that he was hoping, that he could just fake his own death, lead his kids a pile of cash, and restart his life, you know, wherever in Europe that he happens to be.
Well, I asked Joshy, is this movie material? Because it's not over yet, right?
I don't know if it's movie material. Right now, it's like a Dateline special.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even think this is like a Netflix documentary. I think this is like 45 minutes on Dateline.
And the problem is, and not to wish ill on anybody, but this would need some sort of tragedy and like...
But it's not over.
It's not, but... I feel like it would need, like, what am I looking for here? Like, some level of, like, higher-end crime, conspiracy. Like,
yes.
It looks like this guy just tried to start a new life and kind of went over. And then he fessed up. Like, there's no chase.
No. There's no there's no dramatic chase. It's
but
just,
it's not
he's
over.
Just on, he's just on video.
All right, well, let's finish the script.
It seems like the authorities, according to this story that Joshy found this morning, it seems like they are trying to convince him to come back home, to be with his kids, and those are the strings that the sheriff's department is currently trying. Because I don't even know, they would not reveal if they know where he is. I don't know if they know exactly where he is.
In the video here that we watched, he doesn't really say much. He, like, shows the inside of his apartment, which I don't think is probably his best idea.
No.
Because I would imagine there are people somewhere in whatever community he's in that can point out, like, hey, that looks exactly like my apartment.
How many times do you see that on the internet?
Right.
Of somebody being able to take one small detail and then being able to extrapolate out, well, if you got it from here, you know, you got this specific lamp from this specific store... Therefore, you're now in this region. Like, people can narrow down where you are.
What was that documentary? Don't Bleep with Cats?
Don't Bleep with Cats,
where
correct.
That was crazy.
Yeah, they turned the smallest details into being able to pinpoint where someone exactly was.
Yes.
Yeah, but this isn't extraditable, is it?
I mean, you got to get the State Department
involved. My guess is it's... a misdemeanor?
I would imagine the reason they're trying to coax him is because their options are rather limited.
Yes.
Yes.
Because there was no one really harmed. There was just state and city funds used.
Well, and if somebody made a claim, although it wouldn't be the family's fault if they made a claim on the life insurance if they thought he was dead.
Right.
Right? Like, the only crime for them would be is if they were somehow involved in the grander conspiracy. And again, the article notes that he was not in trouble with the law prior to fleeing. The reason for fleeing the country also remains unclear, according to the article.
Okay. I think he just wants his 15 minutes of fame, because wouldn't you just stay anonymous because he would want his family to have the life insurance policy, so he screwed him out of that.
Well, but I think he realized once
the
article...
Once they found he was in Canada?
Correct. Once they found out his passport had been used in Canada and they seemed to be tracking at least somewhat of his movements, I think he knew that the jig was up.
Okay. Crazy story. No mention of the kids. Like, I'm sorry, just sorry for the cops for spending so much money.
Yeah, and I mean, apparently he does feel bad, you know, that this didn't really work out. And again, they keep trying to, you know, the quote here from the sheriff of Green Lake County, "I got one more thing to say, and we're going to call it, but Christmas is coming, and what better gift could he give his kids as to be there for Christmas with him?" That was the closing statement from the sheriff during the press conference yesterday. That's the strategy that they are taking with this guy trying to get him back.
Now, I don't want to make assumptions for other people. I don't know how much I'd want to see this if this was my father.
You know, that's the other thing, right?
Yeah,
like, I can't imagine. Yeah.
You could spend Christmas on your own. I've got other people around here that didn't leave me stranded and make me believe that they were dead at the bottom of Green Lake. You know,
so this was all for a woman in Europe, or
so they haven't confirmed that. Apparently, they have been in contact with a Russian-speaking woman that has helped them to some extent. Although they would not confirm if this was the woman from Uzbekistan that he was in contact with. Am I correct in this, Josh? I've been trying to like.
Yes.
Read as much as I can in the 3 minutes that we had before that we discovered this before the show started.
Yeah, I think they don't want to give too many details because this woman technically did nothing wrong herself.
Correct.
Right. She's not like even harboring a fugitive, really, because there is like the crimes here are, as Chewy said, at most probably a misdemeanor.
Yeah.
This is akin to like somebody with unpaid traffic tickets, you know, like sort of being in your house, like, it's not your fault.
Yeah, it continues to get wild, and as you pointed out, Chewy, the story is nowhere near over. Like, can we just for a second reflect on how dedicated this gentleman was? Like, to ride a bike from Green Lake to Madison. At night.
That's a ways.
At night. Yeah.
Also, so it's an e-bike, so that certainly helps.
Sure. So you've got the a little bit, you know,
you've got the assist.
That battery's making it to what? That battery ain't.
Yeah.
Probably not even making it halfway.
What I'm having trouble understanding is, if you're riding at night, usually people will be like looking like, well, that seems kind of weird. Like, I guess I don't. It feels like biking, especially if you're using the trails and stuff. Those, like, probably have hours, right? Because they don't want people out there getting hurt.
Sure.
Like,
but if you stay on the back roads enough, I mean, growing up in a small town, right? Grew up in Horicon, 3,800 people. Like, if I'm driving on the county back roads, I'm sure there are once or twice where I saw somebody just riding a bike and you don't think twice of it.
See,
you know, the bike's got a little light on it. Like, oh, okay. They're just going from point A to point B.
Me and my buddy did that one time because we wanted to paint a barn. With a saying on it,
okay.
During like homecoming.
Okay.
So we had to go, I would say it was probably a good 6 miles. So we were on our bikes and we had, you know,
the paint
gallons
cans.
Of paint with
us. Yeah.
So every time a car came, we had to, you know, take it into the ditch.
Sure. Do you think anybody saw you going into the ditch? Because wouldn't that be more suspicious? You know, like a car is coming head on in the other lane. You know, they come over the crest of a hill, their lights hit you, and then you go in? Like, that seems suspicious. Like, they clearly saw you go into the ditch.
Yes. I don't know. It's crazy. And it was a big, you know, it was a huge tobacco barn, and it was, I forgot what we painted, but it took some time.
You don't remember the phrase you painted on the barn?
No. It was probably like 87 rules. I think we painted the road, too. Some people probably weren't happy at that when they drove over them and they had some white wall tires.
Dumpy in West Bend hits us up, 800-990-3776. Is this how Rogers will escape from New York?
On an e-bike?
E-bike and then jump on, you know, use a passport, on a plane to Canada.
I am excited to see what off-season thing he does to sort of clear his mind and determine if he wants to come back and play football. I don't want to challenge him, but it seems like you're running out of options. They're getting thinner. We've done this for like 5 years
now. Pancha Karma.
Yeah.
Ayahuasca.
Yeah.
Darkness Retreat.
Yeah.
Well, I guess this year there was no really contemplation. He just went to Egypt in the middle of team OTAs.
Right.
There's no contemplation there.
There was the, was it the trip to Turkey as well?
Yeah.
Because he went to some like ancient sites and then got that tattoo that he has on his arm now. You know, he's got to do something new.
Craig saying, this guy's an idiot. You do all this planning but don't get a fake passport. Yes. Look, I'm guessing fake passports are tough to come by in Green Lake County. I'm just saying, like, I don't know where you would go.
And that,
it seem easy in the movies, but in the movies, like, all these people are in big cities. And you know a guy who knows
a guy. But I would think that's a felony.
Oh, yeah, fake passport,
so maybe 100%. This guy's like, all right, let's just keep it in the misdemeanor range. Because that has to be a felony,
just
right?
In case. So you
I would gather that having fake international, like, rights to
documents. Yeah,
that's gonna do a number on you.
Yeah. Versus
I wonder what level of a crime you have to be on Interpol.
I have no idea.
You're not gonna be on that for a misdemeanor.
No, I would gather it's probably in the drug trafficking, murder, things
so
like
maybe,
that.
Maybe this, what's this saying? This guy might be dumb as a fox.
I mean, I think that's clever like a fox.
No, I think it's dumb. Josh?
Chewy was right. Holy.
Yeah.
Chewy was right.
Apologize, Gabe.
I think Josh is just hitting the button so we move on. I think that's what Josh is doing.
No one has ever said dumb like a fox.
It is dumb like a fox.
All right, you know what? Jason's very smart. We can ask Jason Wilkin.
Okay.
If it's dumb like a fox, as he joins us, coming up next here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He is our friend, he is our teammate, he is Jason Wilde. Joins us three times a week on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Sup, dude?
Dudes, what's going on?
Well,
chilling like a villain.
Before we get to any sort of, you know, Packers things as they get ready to take on the 49ers, Chewy has a question for you.
Jason, is the saying dumb like a fox? Is that what it is?
It is not, no.
What is it? I think it is dumb like a fox. I'm gonna stick by that.
There are some people that say it is dumb like a fox on the talk and text line. But the best I can do there is a 2024 song by Jennifer Strobel, "Dumb as a Fox." There was a 1964 short movie, "Dumb Like a Fox." I don't see anything like a.
I think it's
an
only
actual phrase.
Jason, I think it's only in the farmer community, which I'm a part of. Me and Lance, so I don't know if you guys are qualified to comment on this, but I think it lies within the farmer community. So, I mean, I don't fault you for it, but...
And it's not our fault. It's not our fault that we're dumb like foxes.
Yeah, I always thought it was sly like a fox or crazy like a fox. I've never heard dumb like a fox. But again, who am I to push back on one of the greatest minds of our time, at least before he had all the concussions, Mark Chmura?
He's a deeper thinker than we all are, Jason.
Have you ever smelled the fox den? It is rancid because they let their meat sit there and tenderize, and you could smell it from a mile away. That's why I think it's in my community, amongst my people.
Yeah, that's great. I got enough problems. I've got this possum that comes to our deck now every day looking for the feral cat food, and I had a dog chase the possum underneath our deck yesterday, and possums could not be more timid. Timid like a possum should be another praise in the farmer community.
Jason, I've got another question for you.
Oh, boy.
Is it possum or is it opossum?
Ah, those are two different animals.
They are?
One is the one with the O. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've done a lot of research. I'm going back to get my degree in zoology. This is the O. But I don't know. Does anybody actually call them opossums? Or do they just make it a silent O?
I think people in the biz do. I don't think anyone else
does. In the biz.
What
people
biz?
Are calling foxes dumb.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Jason, Edrin Cooper injured in practice. What's his status?
I don't think he's going to play based on how Matt LaFleur reacted and the fact that when we have hamstring injuries up here in Green Bay, they are not things that guys play through, as you and I have talked about before. So, it happened in practice. I knew it the minute he was added to the injury report on Wednesday as limited out of nowhere because he was practicing at the start of practice. So I had a feeling that it happened during practice. Matt LaFleur confirmed that yesterday, and so there is concern about his availability. I asked if he was going to be week to week, and LaFleur said, well, it's a little too early to say that. I said, well, you got another game like in 4 days after you play this one. And he said, yeah, I know. So that was our exchange. So I think he's not playing Sunday, and I think it's going to make it really hard for him to be ready for Thanksgiving against the Dolphins, which I know Edgerrin Cooper is just a rookie who has played limited snaps or is not a full-time starter, but you know he's been one of their more reliable players. He makes mistakes, but he also has made plays, which a lot of other guys have not. So not having him is going to be a setback.
Jair said he has a PCL tear, so I'm assuming that means he's not playing in the game on Sunday.
Well, he also said when asked if he was going to be able to come back this year and be himself again, he said absolutely he would be. I just need more than 21 days of no contact because that's what he had between the Jacksonville game and playing 10 snaps and aggravating his knee against the Bears. So my question now becomes if he thinks he can't play for at least 3 weeks plus, because 3 weeks was not enough, are you going to IR him and hope you can get him back for, like, the Vikings and the Bears to close out the regular season? Like, and again, I don't know. Like, here's the issue that I have with what he said. And he didn't say it to me. He said it to Matt Schneidman. But here's the issue that I have with what he said. Like, did the medical staff not know that this was the injury? What made the medical staff think that this was, and I use this term carefully, mild enough that he could play through it. And now he's saying, you know, I had 3 weeks where I didn't have any contact. I didn't have any real stress on the knee. And now I can't play for at least for a minimum of 3 more weeks to get this healthy. So, again, I don't have as many answers on this as I would like. But the bottom line is, he ain't playing on Sunday. And I don't know when we'll see him again.
Well, I tore my PCL, Jason, in the Denver Super Bowl year. Yeah, first game of the year against the Bears, and I came back 2 weeks later. I wasn't even close to healthy. I was probably 80%, and that thing lingered probably for another 8 weeks. But you just you know that was the day of tore it all, Jason, and right. But I had a brace. I had to wear a brace for 4 weeks. It's just. And this is a guy that doesn't play until he's 100%. So, I mean, with him, there's probably a pretty good chance that he may not come back. I don't know.
Well, I literally yesterday when we found out it was this PCL, my first thought was, God, I feel like, and again, my brain doesn't always remember everything either, but I thought that because it's an unusual injury. Right. Mm-hmm. So over all the time I've covered the team, I wouldn't have written about it very often. But I was like, God, I swear Chewy had one of these. And yeah. I couldn't remember, and obviously the archives for 1997 are a little bit challenging to track down. But because we were still learning how to use the Internet. But I was super curious because it's so unusual. I didn't know, like, what exactly is the timeline for a guy with this injury, and no offense to you as a tight end, but a corner, that seems to me like it's even more problematic to try and play through. So maybe this narrative changes a little bit for Jair, because I know that some natives, Packers fans, have been very restless about his availability and lack thereof.
Jason, one more injury. What's your gut on Purdy? You think he's going to play or not going to play?
Well, I find it curious that he usually speaks on Thursdays to the 49ers media, and they pushed his media availability back.
Mm-hmm.
Which I would say is an indicator that there's a distinct chance that he doesn't play. Because otherwise, why would you do that? There's no reason to, right? I mean, he can answer questions about how his shoulder feels, but again, it's his throwing shoulder. And if he's not able to throw the football with the velocity he needs, I don't think, as much as you'd like a guy to be able to play through, I don't think you want a guy who's going to be lollipopping balls to Xavier McKinney all afternoon.
Jason, before we let you go, where do you stand on snow globe games? I don't know if you had the game on between the Browns and Steelers in the background as you were writing or doing,
I did.
The different stories last night. Where do you land on snow globe games? You in or you out?
Well, I'm in, and I did enjoy it, and I watched it way more intently. Like, I was not very productive because I was watching it. And I would say this, though, this innovation of, like, the first down line now extended to superimposing the yard lines onto the field, I think is really helpful. But at the same time, it felt like it, like, kind of garbled up the video.
Okay.
I was watching on one of my older televisions that we have in the spare bedroom where my desk is, and like, sometimes guys' legs would disappear, it looked like.
Yeah.
It was a little bit hard to follow. But otherwise, it was good. Yeah, it was real. I do enjoy them. I've covered only a couple of them. The one, obviously, where the game against Seattle in, like, 2007, maybe?
Yeah, 2007 playoffs, yeah.
And then I was just a kid when Lynn Dickey and Paul Kaufman were playing in the snow against, I think, Tampa Bay at Lambeau. So they don't happen very often. So, yeah, I enjoyed that a lot last night, actually. It prevented me from getting all my work done.
Yeah, I think it's a really cool visual. Maybe need to work on because knowing where the ball is on the yard lines is important as a viewer. I'm with you, though.
No doubt.
There was a kickoff return where they get near the sideline. It just kind of all the picture kind of gets weird.
You know why the players love them? Not because it's in the snow and you're playing in the snow. It's because you have a built-in excuse. Well, you took the wrong step. Well, there's snow on the field. It was, that's why players love it.
How am I supposed to know what 8 yards is, coach? I can't see any of the yard lines.
Exactly. Right. Yep.
Did you play in many games that were snow games?
No, just one against Tennessee, I think it was was it Ray Rhodes' year or the year? No, I think it's the San Francisco year, the TO year. But that was it. But, Jason, obviously you were around for the San Francisco game in the playoffs, which was just brutal slop.
Mud and muck.
Yeah, it was gross. Mud. So that was probably that was probably the dirtiest game I played in. But it was funny. I remember playing in San Francisco for the NFC Championship game, and it was pouring rain, and Candlestick was built on a dump or like a septic system, and Aaron Taylor went sliding in the mud and regretted it because it smelled like poop the rest of the game. Crazy. Yeah.
All right, with that, Jason, appreciate your time, buddy.
Like a Matt LaFleur press conference around here. All right, guys, take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde.
No, that's a Gabe. Oh, that's a true story.
I've heard you talk. I haven't heard the specific Aaron Taylor part, but you've talked about how Candlestick was built on something poop-related, yes. Whether it was the septic system, whether it was a dump, that remains to be. I mean, we haven't done the research, but why would we? We've got Chewy. You don't need to do the research on that. It doesn't matter what age you are. Low testosterone can be an issue with any guy. That's where Mentality comes in. Local healthcare facility specifically dedicated to helping men feel and perform at their very best. So what does that mean? For me, it means I have the energy that I did years ago. Because when I started Mentality, before I did, I was kind of getting older, starting to do the morning show, getting more tired throughout the course of the day. Just figured, okay, it's part of getting older, waking up earlier. But it doesn't have to be that way. Mentality can get your testosterone levels to where they need to be. You can compete at work and sports like you did years ago. That's what they've done for me. And they can do the same for you. And it's not one size fits all. You go through the process, you get a blood panel done, they find out what your testosterone levels are, and then you get a customized testosterone treatment plan made just for you. So go to LowTUSA.com. Mentality allows treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. Learn more about Mentality and their low testosterone treatments. LowTUSA.com.
It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
Gabe, you're right. I actually just looked at the stats. No hypocrite has ever won a championship.
Fridays with Mo.
Mark Attanasio, the last thing he wanted to do was play a video and tribute Craig Council in any way. So I give Mark Attanasio a ton of credit.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is sponsored by Landworks Landscape Services. Their creative and talented team will design, build, enhance, and maintain beautiful landscapes in southeastern Wisconsin. Learn more and see their work at landworkswisconsin.com. It's
Friday. Always love catching up on Fridays with Good Karma Brands founder, CEO Craig Karmazin here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning.
We have a clip I want to play for you. So this is from Pat Murphy a couple of days ago as he was making the rounds after being named National League Manager of the Year. And he was asked...
Wait. I got to ask something real quick. I'm sorry.
Yes.
So I was there last night in the snow globe.
Oh, wait. You were there?
Yes. I'm in Cleveland right now, about to head back home. But I was at that game, and all I was thinking about for Chewy was like... is it as fun? Like, I don't remember, I guess you had the Carolina game, but, like, is it as fun? Like, the Browns have been, like, terrible in 2-8, but I swear the snow, it just made them like kids, and it was so fun, and it was football, and, like, or is it, like, your job still, and, like, you're still, like, just approaching it the way you approach every other game? Like, when you get into a snowy game like that, because it was awesome last night.
I just said it with Jason on the air, Craig, that players love it, not because it's fun and it brings you back to being a kid and going out and playing in the snow, but you have a built-in excuse, you know?
Okay.
If you slip on a route, if you don't take it to, 10 yards and you take it 8, you just have that built-in excuse. So you're having fun and you really can't get in trouble. Because when you watch the film, you're like, oh, I can't see the.
You're saying Njoku drops as a tight end, drops the easiest pass that you could ever drop in America, and comes back two plays later and gets the 2-point conversion because he's like, you know what? It's crazy in the snow. Like, no one can blame me for dropping that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a built-in excuse. Go
ahead, Greg.
Yeah, I was going to say, Gabe, it wasn't that cold either. Now, I will admit I was in a suite.
Okay.
But the suite was open, and like it was the same temperature basically that it was outside, and we were outside in the suite, and it was the only thing was people were throwing snowballs, which was getting a little dangerous. But it was the coolest environment, especially because you had so many Steelers fans there. So like, you know, the Steelers fans came to Cleveland like, all right, here's our coronation. We're better than the Ravens now. We own this division. Everyone thought it was the toughest division in football, but the Bengals aren't good. And now Tomlin has lost, I think, 8 straight Thursday night games, and the Browns are, like, undefeated in Thursday night football. And so it was just, like, the coolest environment with both crowds. It was like what Steelers-Browns on a night game in November should be. So it was awesome.
What was your visibility? Because, the only experience I have as a fan, Craig, with snow game is watching them on TV. And there was one point where they showed one of the field goals. I think it was the second field goal from the Steelers where you couldn't even see it from the camera angle if it went through the uprights. Al Michaels like, I have no idea if that went in or not. It just and they superimposed the yard lines on TV. But what was it visually? What could you see? What couldn't you see being in the stadium?
You could see the ball and you could see everything that was happening, but you said it with the yard lines. You'd have no idea. People were like, wait, can they throw a Hail Mary from here? And it's like, are they at the 50? Are they at the 30? Like, you really had no idea where they were on the field. And so, and, you know, there were times where it's like, oh, that's a first down. And it's like, well, like, because you couldn't, like, extrapolate it with your eyes the way you typically could just because the whole bearings were off on everything. So it was, and the snow got so thick.
Oh, yeah.
That, like, you were watching it and, like, you could, again, at all times you could see it, but, like, the players aren't moving totally like they always are. So I was like, wait, is that Justin Fields or is that Russell Wilson? Like, is he's kind of like, you can't really see the jersey. And they're like, I was like, wait, he's moving a little more like Justin Fields, but he's still kind of moving like Russell Wilson. All right, that's got to be Justin Fields right now.
Craig, did the Bucs right the ship? Was the first 5, 6, 7, 8 games kind of the preseason in the NFL? How the preseason now is the first couple of games of the regular season?
By the way, we will get back to your Pat Murphy thing because that was my bad on that. But I don't think that's a total fair excuse. I think that's part of it. And when you look back to the Brooklyn Nets game, the home loss to the Bulls, I think there was some of that of just feeling out the season. I think there's also a feeling out of the rotation of who's playing. And I think now it's been kind of cool, like where it is a different group each night who seems to be playing in the rotation based on matchups. And then I think there was, you know, some inconsistency from who was playing. You know, Dame Lillard was out for some games. Giannis didn't play in that game at Cleveland that if you look back, you know, they had two games, you know, a one possession game when Dame looked like he had hit a game winner at home against Cleveland. And then on the road where AJ Green hits a crazy shot. So the Bucks only lose by 1. So I think they're getting the ship righted, but to think that all of this is still without Chris Middleton, you know, is another piece of this, right? So I know that we're used to, hey, a guy's out and the Bucks aren't playing well. And that means they'd be 9-5 when they're not playing well. And this is 5-9. So there is a difference and I don't want to write it off just to that. And I would say that the ship has been righted, but I don't think it's like, hey, the Bucks are now playing like an elite team in the NBA. I still think there's a ways to go to be playing at the level of the Celtics and of the Cavs and of the teams that are going to ultimately compete for a championship.
There was the report with the Bucks, Craig, a couple of weeks ago from Brian Windhorst that they were basically calling everyone in the league and couldn't make anything work because of how limited they are, you know, in terms of the salary cap and those sorts of things that we don't need to detail. But do you think the Bucks are still trying to find a move that might work for them? And because of their restrictions, are they going to find a move?
Yeah, I talked to Brian about that, and he said, you know, he said one team he talked to said that they had 3 different trades that they came up with right away that they wanted to do with the Bucks, and realized really quickly with the NBA salary cap rules that there was no chance they were going to be able to pull off any of those trades. So I think, you know, I think could there be a move? Of course, there'll be some kind of move, right? Could Thanasis get signed, right? That would be exciting. That could be a move, right? But I don't think there's going to be any major change in the makeup of this roster for a while. You know, you know, outside of Chris Middleton joining the team. And then, who knows, around the trade deadline, will they be able to figure something out? It seems like John always figures out some deal. But I believe this is a team that, once it's together, can play at the top of the conference. And I still believe if this was a healthy team last year, this team could have played with the Celtics.
All right.
What was your Pat Murphy question?
There's a clip from Pat Murphy I want you to hear, Craig, and I just want to get your reaction to what you hear. Again, this is Pat Murphy, NL Manager of the Year, who was asked about Willy Adames and his chances of returning to the Milwaukee Brewers, and how would Murphy feel if he returned to the Brewers?
How bad do you want Willy Adames back at shortstop for you guys?
I mean, I don't think it makes sense. If he comes back, it means he didn't get the deal that he was looking for. And Tom, I love the kid. I mean, this kid's a gamer. He comes to play every day. And he's a good player, and he's a leader, and he loves the big situation. I don't even think about it, to be honest with you, because he's going to get the deal he wants.
So obviously we want Willy Adames back, but the manager of the Milwaukee Brewers is resigned to him not coming back.
I mean, that's probably why he's the manager of the year, right? I don't think I could answer the question that way. I don't know. I mean, if I'm in his role, that I could align so well with the organization the way he has. And when you think about how this team has been able to segue from one general manager to another, from one manager to another, and have sustained excellence at such a disadvantage when you look at the salary compared to the rest of the league, I think that answer tells you everything you need to know. Because what you see is an organization that is absolutely aligned from the top to the executive management and general manager and personnel to the game manager. And I think in any business, that's how you win, when you have alignment at that level. So it's super impressive to hear. And I don't know that any of us as fans could be that unemotional about it.
Craig, I don't know if you know, but I almost had a minor in psychology. So I want to play a little game with you here.
Oh, boy.
If somehow the 49ers...
I thought this was going to be about Green Lake. Okay, so this is about the 49ers.
No. I already made that call. I already told you guys what happened. You didn't even have to read the article. But let's go back to what I was going to say here. If somehow they lose to San Francisco here, I believe that puts them out of the division race. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I do.
Craig?
But if somehow they lose, Craig...
In 2 weeks when they go to Detroit, if that's the case, I want them to get their doors blown off. I want them to get their doors blown off because they're going to make the playoffs. And to get to the Super Bowl, they're going to have to play Detroit again. And I think psychologically for that playoff game, it would be better if Detroit blew their doors off. Would you agree with me?
Totally disagree. If they beat the 49ers, I'd be more comfortable with them getting their doors blown off by the Lions, because either way, they're not winning the division, and I don't care if they win the division. The division has no correlation with postseason success. We've seen that, you know, for the last 20 years. You know, winning the division means nothing, especially for the Packers, right? The only time they won the championship, right, they were the sixth seed. In terms of getting your doors blown off, I don't believe that to be the case. I liked what happened when the Patriots played the Giants. You remember that last week of the season?
Yep.
And
yeah,
the
sure.
Giants kind of showed they weren't unbeatable, and they showed they could play with them, and they had the confidence that they could rush the passer with only four guys, and they weren't going to have to, like, go exotic. Like, I don't think getting the doors blown off is good. I think knowing you can compete with them, but maybe losing, so you have that little bit of edge, like, hey, they beat us twice, but that second time around, we showed we're not scared of them, and we know we could beat them. But I don't. I mean, if they lose to the 49ers and lose to the Lions, then I know the NFC is not that deep, but I think at that point you have to start worrying about making the playoffs.
All right, Craig, you brought up the Green Lake guy.
Because,
go ahead, Couture.
That was different, though, because New England was in the middle of their dynasty, right? And they were used to winning week in and week out. Detroit is hungry. They're hungry and
right,
talented.
But Detroit. I mean, if Detroit only loses one game, like, I mean, it's going to have that feel almost of those undefeated Patriots. Like, you know, in terms of like, oh, this team's indestructible. Like, no one could step to this team. And I think if you can actually go nose to nose with them, which the Packers didn't last time. The Packers now, I think, Gabe, I heard you say it, like what they did now looks more impressive in retrospect, you know, since they didn't give up 50 to them. And, you know, and part of that was even a defensive touchdown. But I think you have to show you can compete with them on some levels if the Lions are as dominant through the postseason and the rest of the regular season as they've been through these first 11 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing. If you want to use the Packers example, Chew, that's what Jason tells the story all the time. It's what the Packers did in 2010. They hung with the Atlanta Falcons and then blew the doors off the Falcons when they played them in the playoffs because they had that confidence.
I could see either way.
Craig, do you think you could fake your own death?
No, I don't even, I can't even like, I just got a cringe just even thinking about that. I mean, as a joke? I don't even think I could do it as a joke. No, I don't think I'd do that.
Well, because I think part of this guy's problem was like lack of resources, right? Like he used his own passport and that kind of started the trail of I think how they eventually found this guy.
What was the story and what was the reason and what is going on with this story?
So we don't know. He has yet to give a reason other than, you know, was going through the only thing in the press conference that was given yesterday, taking a full step back. Earlier this summer, there was a presumed death in Green Lake, where they found a kayak in the middle of the lake that was turned over. A guy's phone was found in the lake because he had dropped his phone in the lake. And then a couple of weeks ago, last week, it was discovered that he had used his passport and they were tracking his movement somewhere in Europe. And, you know, some irregularities they were trying to figure out. They're now in contact with this guy. And he told them how he faked his own death by apparently, tipping it over, throwing his phone in there. He had an e-bike with him that he took to the lake that he then rode from Green Lake all the way to Madison to hop on a bus to get to Detroit, that he got to Canada, and then eventually flew over to Europe. But he did this by using his own passport. And the only thing he told the authorities as they continued to talk with him and get more information from him is he was going through some personal things and he thought this was the best way to resolve it for his family, giving them the life insurance money as he faked his own death.
Wow. And is the life insurance ones the ones who tracked this down and figured this out?
No, the Green Lake Sheriff's Department has done a lot of the work, but they were notified I don't know, again, I don't know if it was last week, if it was 2 weeks ago, of his passport being dinged, you know, it was used at the Canadian border. So I think that's where they had also found some irregularities on his computer. They had found some links to international bank, overseas bank accounts.
Chewy, you were onto this happening, or you were just onto the location of this happening?
He knew, Chewy, why did he choose Green Lake? Yeah, why did this guy choose Green Lake?
Because it's the deepest lake in the state, which would make it much more difficult, obviously, to look for a body.
Now it all comes together.
Yeah. Chewy just knows things like what the deepest inland lake in Wisconsin is.
You know, I believe your Michael Finley once called him Dr. Chimura, and now we have Detective Chimura.
He's got many, many entities.
I think I'm owed an apology, Craig, because I'm sure I already Googled it. You've heard the phrase dumb like a fox. And these guys just laughed at me and snubbed at me. And
I thought it was crazy like a fox.
Yeah, see?
Or was that a movie?
No, crazy like a fox, smile like a fox.
No, just I think Google dumb like a fox. I think dumb like a fox is an expression. I think my grandmother used to say that. I'm with you.
Yeah, was she a farmer?
No.
Was she a because it's. Not. I mean, me and Lance are the only ones at the station would know. Because
what about
we
the Blammer?
In that farmer's world.
Yeah, she was a.
Oh, Blammer knows it. You kidding me?
She was a factory worker, like I Love Lucy style back in the day.
All right.
Blammer probably coined the thing.
He's old. Craig, we always appreciate the time. Look forward to talking to you next Friday.
I appreciate it as well. Thanks, guys.
Craig Karmason joins us each and every Friday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. You never know what direction we're going to go with Craig, mostly because we'd never know what direction we're going to go with the big guy as well. Tune in to the Analysis Show each and every week. It's presented by Gruber Law Offices. Thanasis Adetokounmpo hangs out with special guests for fun and even surprising conversations. Maybe it's his live show with Giannis, a chat with Green Bay quarterback Jordan Love, getting the inside scoop on fighting with Logan Paul, or any one of TA's unique guests. Find the Analysis Show on Apple, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. Plus, you can subscribe to the Analysis Show on YouTube to see exclusive video content from Thanasis. The Analysis Show, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Are you going to answer the question?
What's the question?
Can the Packers win without Aaron Jones on Sunday?
Yes. Will you stop? You know what he is?
He's
like the little devil on the shoulder.
On 94.5 ESPN.
You know what makes me happy? My wife being happy. That's why I go to the jewelry center. Let's be honest, most guys don't have a clue when it comes to buying jewelry. Gabe's one of the smart ones. He got the engagement ring and the wedding bands from the jewelry center for his wedding in 2022. They also do in-house repairs for watches and other fine jewelry like my championship ring when it needs work. I know where I'll be taking it to the jewelry center. They have three locations to stop into: Greenfield, Brookfield, and Burlington. And if my wife can't tag along, she can look through all the many styles of diamonds and other fine cuts online at shoptjc.com. I'm living proof. Happy wife, happy life. The jewelry center will make it happen. Brookfield, Greenfield, Burlington, and online at shoptjc.com.
We've gotten this one a couple of times on the Talk and Text Line, Chew, 800-990-3776. The only saying I know about being dumb is being dumb as a box of rocks.
Yes, that's another solid one.
Okay, so it just seemed like people were thinking that you were confusing box and rocks.
No.
Since they rhyme with fox, that was the saying you were getting confused with.
There is a Wikipedia page dedicated to dumb like a fox.
Is it the movie?
No, it's a saying. It means sly or cunning. God.
It is. It's on Wiktionary, which is not Wikipedia.
Okay.
That is basically where you can add slang and phrases and sayings. So it,
you guys aren't
it exists.
Yeah.
I don't think it...
So,
go ahead.
It's a generational thing. You guys are just too young, dumb, and...
Don't finish that sentence, please.
I had restraint, okay?
Hey, I appreciate the restraint. That's growth. Two years ago, Josh, he had to finish the saying. 2 years
and
ago,
Jen would have done it, too. Jen is the naughtiest on the panel.
Well, that's not even debatable at this point. We'll get into Packers Niners in 2 minutes. Jen, give it to you.